Welcome into episode 2 of Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange, joined by Charlie Palolo and Josh Jordan. Texans look to bounce back in week 2 against their old division rivals, the Indianapolis Colts. Indy dropped their home opener against Jacksonville, who the Texans will see in week 3. Josh, you were telling me my bookie has Houston favored by a point. What do we think of, let's start with the quarterback matchup, Stroud versus Anthony Richardson?
It's going to be nice that Stroud will be at home. You don't have that loud, crazy crowd in Baltimore, so you'll be at home for that one. Anthony Richardson arguably was the best of all the rookies this Sunday. I mean, he did a nice job, 223 yards passing, had a passing touchdown, had a pick as well, but also had 40 yards rushing and a touchdown. Even better than Bryce Young, a lot of these guys, Richardson showed a lot. He made a lot of great throws. He threw a little more than I thought he would. I thought he might just take off, kind of like Justin Fields the whole game. But he threw more, and he missed plenty of throws too. But if you're a Colts fan, you have to be encouraged. I think C.J. Stroud should take a step forward this week. The secondary for the Colts is not very good, and they traded away Stephon Gilmore in the offseason to the Cowboys, so they're even weaker than they were last year. So I think there's going to be a lot more opportunities for the passing game, and hopefully they'll commit a little more to the run with Damian Pierce. With him only getting like 13 touches, they got to get him up to around 20. I don't think the Colts are going to run away and hide like the Ravens did for part of the game on Sunday.
The Texans open as favorites over the Colts. That's an indictment of the Colts, not an endorsement of the Texans, and it's inside a field goal, so it's strictly a home field advantage is the favorite type deal. Stroud and Richardson are going to be a very interesting compare-contrast evolution going forward. Obviously, it's a divisional opponent. Stroud played at Ohio State with NFL players all over the roster, an absolute wide receiver factory. Richardson, one season as a starter at Florida, which was terrible. Stroud, more experienced, more developed. Richardson, you know, he is that lump of clay, very, very high grade clay, vastly superior athletically versus C.J. Stroud, you know, an arm. He can, with a flick of the wrist, throw it 70 yards. You want to go back, geez, is it 30 years now? A guy like Randall Cunningham comes to mind when I look at Anthony Richardson. He will look to run, and they will design run plays more for him than the Texans will do with Stroud. I mean, Richardson's 245 pounds. So is Jamarcus Russell. They hope it works out better for him than it did for Russell and the Raiders. But he is a jaw-dropping wow guy who figures to make some terrible mistakes going forward. The Colts, if they can keep it healthy, have a credible offensive line. Obviously, the loss of Jonathan Taylor is a debilitating blow, an elite running back to try to ease the burden on Richardson initially, as well as just gain a whole bunch of yards. So the Colts don't project to be good. In terms of the Texans' offense attacking them, Josh referred to the secondary. Gilmore gone. Isaiah Rogers was a projected starter. He's suspended for the whole season for gambling on football. If the Texans are to look competent offensively as early as week 2, it's not a bad draw of an opponent. Can they get a little better continuity out of the offensive line? How about no dead ball penalties offensively? And I don't just mean as a throwaway. You know, you scheme for it, but they should be throwing the ball deep at least once per quarter. Nico Collins is a big target getting downfield, or let Tank Dell show off the wheels. You have to take shots here and there, at least in the NFL, to loosen up any defense.
Well, we saw right tackle George Fant go down with a stinger in week 1. If he can't go, how do you see them adjusting the O-line? Because I'm assuming it doesn't involve Michael Dieter back at right tackle, because that was a disaster. But how do you see them adjusting? Because they've got to protect Stroud. What do you see them also to open up some lanes for Damian Pierce to be able to kind of, you know, establish a run game? How do you see them adjusting in week 2 with that O-line?
Who is the other sprocket with Dieter?
I don't remember. That is pretty old. That's a great reference, though.
He couldn't be more exposed than Michael Dieter was on the one play where he was showcased. Is that the word, against the Ravens? You don't want to have to max protect, keep a tight end to block all the time, because it, you know, shrinks what you can try to do schematically, offensively. But at least these are not the Colts of the heyday of Dwight Freeney pass rushing from one end and Robert Mathis from the other. They have a decent front seven, and DeForest Buckner's a real load on the inside. So, yeah, if you're down to your number 3 right tackle, right, Titus Howard, IL, and then Fant's a journeyman guy filling in for him, it's just something you're going to have to suck up. To me, it's unfortunate that it's on the right side. I'm not suggesting you move Tunsil to the right side, but Stroud, if you're going to move the pocket, you know, I don't want to move it to his throwing side, but that's moving it to the side where you have a weak right tackle. So they're just playing the short stack on that one.
Yeah, I think they're going to attack it just like they did in the Ravens game after Dieter gave up that sack fumble. Move him to left guard, put Josh Jones at right tackle. That's more his natural position anyway. That he's done more of that, but he was playing left guard yesterday. But with Fant out, you got to put Jones out there at right tackle. And then Dieter's got to be your left guard. And looks like that's what you're going to have to roll with. It's not ideal, but that's who you have right now. So they can't sustain any more injuries. That's the other thing. I mean, it is just getting ridiculous.
Now, bad teams generally lack enough top-end talent to compete at the top level. Bad teams also lack depth. So even where maybe you're decent, you lose a guy or two or three, and the doo-doo gets deep very quickly.
That takes us to our next topic. We saw Jalen Petrie go down in week one with that bruised lung. We don't know whether he'll be available or not. In week two, the defense went south pretty immediate after Jalen went down. How do you see them adjusting the secondary, kind of how the defensive play calling goes? How do you see DeMeco kind of being able to compensate for not having Petrie on the field?
Well, I mean, it's more of what we saw at Baltimore. You know, it's going to be Stewart and Eric Murray if he's not able to go, and that's how they're going to have to roll at safety. The good news is the Colts just had a really tough time running the football without Jonathan Taylor outside of Richardson. So you don't have to worry about their run game too much, but Michael Pittman was able to get going. I think he had 8 catches for about 98 yards, and he had a terrible year last year, but he didn't have anybody decent to throw him the ball, so Richardson found him often. He had a good game. So, yeah, it was 8 catches for 97 yards and a touchdown. So I think Richardson's got to be the focus. You can't let him just take off and beat you all day. And we know that's what the Texans struggle with is rush defense. It was improved against Baltimore, but there were still some holes. We talked about when the starting safeties were out of the game in the second half, Baltimore really got going. So we could see more of the same. The Texans got to get some points on the board here. You know, you could say what you want about Stroud or Richardson. Well, Richardson put the ball in the end zone twice. Stroud, it was field goal factory of sadness, same old Texans. So they got to get some points on the board and maybe some smoke and mirrors. I mean, it's a rookie quarterback in a second start. Maybe it's time to bring out all the bags out of your tricks and see if you can fool him a little bit.
Yeah, if you're without Ward and Petrie, you're just weak at safety. I mean, that's the end of it. I thought Eric Murray was a logical cut candidate in the offseason, more cap space that they could have hoarded for 24. Well, now he's the anchor back there if both Ward and Petrie are out. Anthony Richardson was wildly inaccurate as a thrower, right? As breathtaking arm talent, modern football phrase, but scatterarmed with it, whether some guys just aren't gifted with accurate throwing ability. Others have mechanics to clean up and they can get there. And others, it's just a matter of experience. But especially with no Jonathan Taylor, I'm making Richardson beat me in the air. You know, I want to try to confuse him, get after him. If your corners can hold up against a non-elite Colts receiving crew, I would expect the Texans to be able to play a pretty credible game defensively. Maybe hold on Indy below 20 points and maybe that's enough to win.
Yeah, that might be enough to win. And just looking at their backs outside of Jonathan Taylor, Deion Jackson, 13 carries for 14 yards on Sunday. And I think he got dinged up too. I think Evan Hull got dinged up as well. So I think they will be able to hold the run game in check. And like Charlie said, just make Richardson throw the ball in the air. As far as points, Charlie alluded to, the total is at 40.5. So Vegas is not expecting a ton of points in this game.
What kind of advantages do you expect to see on the line with Anderson Jr.?
Colts offensive line was real messed up last year. Braden Smith looked like a rising all-pro type tackle. He's fallen off some. Quentin Nelson, their all-world guard, also had some injury issues. I want to see moving forward how much they choose to move around Will Anderson. A different type of player, but J.J. Watt would foam at the mouth, pick the matchup that he felt, I could destroy this guy, and go line up against him. Will Anderson get sort of freedom going forward?
Yeah, that'll be great to see it. But you have to be prepared. Richardson's going to take off and escape out the back door a couple times on you, just like Lamar Jackson. That's what he can do. So you can't get too frustrated. Sometimes you're going to get him. Sometimes he's going to get away. But that would be huge, especially home opener. If you get Anderson going, get that crowd hyped, show everybody why he was taken with that top pick. I think that would be fantastic. But it's going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be a close one.
All right. Well, that's it for episode 2, Texans on Tap. We'll be back next week for the recap of this game. Make sure you subscribe to the new Texans on Tap channel on YouTube, as we're doing some YouTube bonus content during the week. You can get the audio version of this podcast early by subscribing at your favorite podcast provider. We're in Apple, Spotify, and Amazon. Thanks for listening. Go Texans.